Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to CFTV Live here on a, what is today? It's Wednesday, the 22nd of February. Of course, we are presented by Agrigold. What's up to Agrigold? It feels like, man, it's like 75 out there. Adam Gray, I feel like it's planting season already. It's not. It's supposed to snow in 2 days.
I don't believe it. There's no way it's snowing in 2 days.
It's supposed to.
It's 75 and beautiful out right now. I'm just not even thinking about snow. I'm thinking about maybe getting out. Golfing later tonight.
Good for you.
I can't though. I'm thinking about it, but
that'd be awesome if you could though.
It would be nice. Who would have ever thought in February? You, not only could you golf, but you could wear shorts.
I wore shorts to KXNO yesterday.
Did you? Is that professional? Are they okay with it?
They don't care.
You can wear whatever.
Yeah.
Could you wear a George Niang jersey in there?
I have done that before.
You have?
Yes. Multiple times.
A grown man, you've worn another man's jersey.
Yeah, it's George Niang.
Nothing wrong with that?
Absolutely not.
Agree to disagree.
It's George Niang.
I love George. I love George.
You wouldn't wear a George Niang jersey?
No.
That's a you problem, man.
I'm a 31-year-old man.
Who gives a crap?
I don't wear a jersey of another man.
I do.
I know when
you do. When your
I've seen you wear a Warren Moon jersey.
When your name's George Niang, I'll wear your damn jersey with pride.
What's the worst jersey you've ever worn? Like the worst player?
Like human being or
no,
player?
No, not human being. I'm talking player because you've got a – you actually have –
I like jerseys. I used to wear them all the time when I was a kid.
Like, give a Troy Williamson jersey.
No. The worst. I never owned a Ponder one. I'm trying to think here because my mind automatically goes to the Vikings.
Do you have any baseball ones?
Fred McGriff, the Crime Dog.
There's nothing bad about that, though.
No.
Do you have a Brooks Conrad jersey?
Brooks bleeping Conrad. I'm trying to think. It would have to be a bad Vikings player. I had both the Carter boys, Anthony and Chris.
Okay. Anthony Carter would probably be the worst.
Dude, he was pretty good there.
No, he was. He was a Pro Bowler for a couple years, wasn't he?
I had a Joey Browner jersey. I had a Warren Moon jersey. I never had an AP.
You have a Jeff George jersey, don't you?
No, I just had the Moon.
Oh.
Moon's my only retro Viking jersey. Randy Moss.
No Randall Cunningham. No Dante Culpepper.
No. None of those guys. I mean, in that era, I was straight Moss. I did everything for Moss.
So you don't have any truly awful jerseys then? I thought for sure you would have a Christian Ponder jersey.
No, I don't. No. Because I feel like once you get out of childhood, which means like once you're in like high school, you wear jerseys less.
Yeah.
And then from high school – and then I really don't buy them anymore other than ones who, like, I bought a Niang one. I have a
will you buy a Monte Morris one?
I have a Harrison Smith jersey.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll buy a Monte one.
Yeah.
Just solely to put it in a frame in my basement.
Well, see, to me, that's completely different. If you frame it, get it signed, and you put it in your basement,
well, that's what
cool.
I'm doing with the
you
George.
You wear it?
I honestly bought the George one because I didn't know how long he'd be in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get it for my basement.
How long is he going to stick?
I don't know. But that's why I bought it when I bought it. I bought it the day it came out because I'm like, if he gets cut in 2 weeks.
This jersey will be no longer able to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, really random start to the program. Thanks to Agrigold, as always, for their sponsorship of CFTV Live. We have a lot to get to today. First, I want to comment on the Kevin Dresser press conference that we just witnessed over on Cyclones.tv. It did what every introductory press conferences aimed to do. It got me excited about wrestling, I guess, for the first time since Kale left. And I don't mean that Adam is a here's why I feel that way, I think. And I think a lot of wrestling fans, Iowa State fans, can probably feel this way too. When Kale left, it was very deflating. You knew what that was going to mean. It wasn't a indictment on Kevin Jackson and that people thought he would suck or anything like that. It's kind of like one of the titans of the sport just doesn't want to be there anymore for one reason or another. And I quit caring. It had way more to do with that than it did about Kevin Jackson. This is kind of like a breath of fresh air, another chance you feel like for Iowa State wrestling to matter again. And we'll see. I'm looking forward to Kevin Dresser's going to be on my radio show later on today. We'll get to talk to Coach in that capacity. But it was a typical introductory press conference. It's really hard to screw those up. Kevin Dresser did a really nice job.
I'm looking forward to watching. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I agree with everything you said. When Kale left, it's like getting punched in the stomach. And you figured Iowa State would take a little step back. Unfortunately, it took a big, big step back.
Yeah.
And Dresser, he provides a breath of fresh air, and hopefully he can get the job done. And I just want to see Iowa State get back to competing with Iowa and the Cy-Hawk. And I want to see them at Nationals be in a position come the last day for a top five finish. I don't think that's too much to ask for.
No, that's where Iowa State should be in wrestling. And so, I mean, we don't need to add any more to it.
We're not wrestling gurus.
No, we're not. Rob Gray will have I always say he's the best feature writer in the state of Iowa. So look forward to that here later on. At CycloneFanatic.com. All right, I wanted to start today with some basketball recruiting. Steve Prohm's been very active over the last couple of days. See, he likes – and they hate the Saturday to Monday turnaround, but I think Steve likes the Saturday to Monday turnaround afterwards if you survive it. Gives you a couple days to get out on the road. That's what he's been doing the last couple of days on the JUCO hunt right now. Now, we reported I know it was last month for sure – that this kid from Hutchinson down in Kansas, Justin, I think is his last name.
I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Justin. And then the Lake kid from IWCC as well, the big dude, 6'10". He's supposedly a rim runner.
Every Iowa State fan, when they heard 6'10", just stood up and just started clapping right there.
Oh, I actually had a guy on our Facebook page, Adam, true story here, get upset.
Why?
Because he's not a real 7-footer.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
because there's just so many prevalent 7-footers running around in college basketball anymore. But anyways, that's beside the point.
Hey, you know what? I would think after this year where our tallest guy is pretty much 6'6", right?
If there's a 6'10 dude who can run, I'll take him.
I'll take a guy who's 4 inches taller. Because, I mean, Solomon Young, 6'6". Deontay Burton, 6'5".
They've offered all three.
Bowie, 6'6".
They've offered excuse me, I'm just fixing some audio issues here. They have offered – both of those kids, and I found out today in looking into this that they've also offered a young man by the name of Daryl Edwards, who Prohm will be watching tonight, I've heard, out of Northwest Florida State College. Now, the thing that stands out to you when you look at Daryl Edwards, his stats right now, he's at 13.5 points per game, but he's a 51% three-point shooter, and that's what Iowa State's looking at. So, I mean, if you got a guy who can shoot the ball like that, then he's got an opportunity to come in and make an impact next year. I don't know, but they have offered him. He seems like a bit of an under-the-radar guy at this point. We'll see. Where I think is Justin and Lake, or the competition will only increase as the process goes on.
I think there's no question right now that the top need for Iowa State is a post guy.
Correct.
They need more bigs that can come in. We don't know what we're going to get out of Kazonger or Lard next year. Or even
Simeon Carter. They're all mysteries.
I mean, I'm not trying to, but at this point, with where Iowa State's had struggles with their bigs this year, the fact that Simeon Carter's not playing leads me to believe he's probably never going to play at Iowa State. I'm not trying to be mean or negative.
And I'll jump in on that train and say I think that Cameron Lard will be one of the larger disappointments in recent Iowa State history next year. And it's not to say he won't have a good career eventually, but him not playing this year and not showing up has built up expectations for that young man so much. I love Randy Peterson. He's a good friend of mine. These play Cameron Lard columns were just ridiculous. He was never going to play, and fans have it in their mind that he would have been like some savior to come in this year. He wouldn't have. He would have maybe averaged 5-4 this year as a freshman. So my point is,
hey, we needed 5-4. We needed five.
He wouldn't have been able to do anything that Merle Holden isn't doing right now. They would have been a similar type of player. So my point is, tap the brakes on that. And if you can get a JUCO like Lake, and I don't know, maybe he wouldn't be any good either. I mean, recruiting's a crapshoot, but I do think that the Cameron Lard expectations were blown completely out of whack.
Do you know who Lard reminds me a lot of as far as the expectations? And actually, in a smaller scale, you think they've been blown way out of proportion. This player was blown even 10 times more. Lucas Steiger. Remember when all of a sudden the NCAA said, hey, he couldn't play anymore? Remember the free Luca petition that went all around, got thousands of signatures?
Yeah.
Everyone thought the difference for Greg McDermott's second team, why they did not win more games, was because the NCAA screwed us with Lucas Steiger. And he came in. He had a couple nice games against Drake where I think he had like 10 threes. But for the most part,
he was a streaky guy. Yeah.
He wasn't. Lucas Steiger was no difference. Huge difference maker for Iowa State. He was
Cameron Lard, again, in 3 years, he could be all Big 12. I'm not saying he won't be.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, I think a lot of people had in their mind that he was – Emmanuel Malou would have made a difference this year. I don't think Cameron Lard probably would have made that big of a difference with this team. Hopefully he has a phenomenal offseason and he proves me wrong next year. I do think that everybody needs to slow down on that, though.
Yeah, Malou.
Yeah, see, that one stung.
Oh.
That one stung.
And people – he hasn't really been talked about that much this year as far as a guy they were expecting. He would have started this year. He would have played a lot. I talked to a guy who did workouts with him, and he said there's not one thing that kid couldn't do. You gave him anything to do on the basketball court, he could do it. That hurt.
I totally agree.
Back to my point here, obviously post players are the number one key for Iowa State. That's who Prohm, I'm sure, is focused in on, getting someone that can come in and help out down low. But there is – Darrell Edwards provides a need. You're losing Matt Thomas, yeah. You're losing Naz Long, and even Monte Morris is shooting a good percentage of threes anymore. Who's going to be Iowa State's three-point shooter next year besides Donovan Jackson?
They need more shooters. Absolutely they do.
So I know a lot of people are looking at it and saying, why are we offering guards? We need bigs. Well, we do need guards. They're replacing six guys next year.
And Steve's style is still to run up and down and shoot. So it's not like they're going to play a significantly different style next year. You've got to have guys who can score.
Spread the court.
Absolutely.
If not, you're like Virginia right now. Have you watched Virginia play basketball? Great on defense.
I try not to.
They can't score on offense. They have no shooters right now. It's horrible to watch.
I try not to watch them as much as possible. I've seen them play a couple. My guy, Tony Bennett,
I like Tony.
I like him a lot, but it's awful basketball to watch.
I would love to play Virginia again this year. I think Iowa State would beat them in the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So
I think you're probably
right. I went off on a couple tangents there that had nothing to do with what we're talking about. But no, I think both these guys, both the big guys, I would take – in a heartbeat. And Iowa State also is going after – isn't there a Yetna kid that they're going after
Alex,
as well?
Alex Yetna. He's a freshman. Yeah.
He'd be a freshman. But
he's a kid who's originally from France. He's over here playing prep ball. And I think they have a decent chance at him. The scenario right now, it sounds like they're still going to try and get a fifth-year senior or two.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And you have no idea who that is at this point.
No, you don't know. My guess is right now that they're going to take two of these three JUCOs if they can get them in some capacity, get a fifth-year post, and we'll see. I mean, how much attrition is in the offseason? Do you plan on any of that? I mean, that always comes – best-case scenario, somebody transfers, and then you can load up on another JUCO. If you're looking at next year, that's the best-case scenario, that you have a guy who says, I want to go play somewhere else.
From Iowa State to go somewhere else. Yes, it's going to happen.
It always does.
It's going
to
happen.
I don't know who that's going to be.
No, we don't need to speculate on that.
And I don't want to speculate on that, but my point is, if you're looking at next year and you're saying, okay, this is a rebuilding year, what kind of year do you want to have? Do you want to have a year where you're, where you're significantly below 500 in the league and you're just building things, or do you want to push for an NIT or potentially best case scenario an NCAA tournament?
I think to keep momentum going, you got to at least be in the NIT. I mean, I think that
– I would hope so, but –
I think that extra postseason practice provides momentum. But I think next year's team is going to be a little bit better than people think. I'm not saying it's a tournament team by any means, and we don't even know what they're going to look like at this point in time. But I think we're going to see a big jump from Nick Babb.
I think so too, him. And then I think Donovan Jackson has the ability to kind of put this team on his shoulders next year as well.
I think he can a little bit. I'll be interested to see if he can run point.
I think Wigginton will run the point most of the time. I think
Babb bring it down court sometimes too.
Yeah, I think Steve will want Donovan as their primary too.
I think so too.
I do think that – I think he's proven he can do that this year. Yeah. Kind of be their Naz Long type guy next year.
Yeah.
I don't think you want him running the ball up and down the floor. I think that will inhibit your offense.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Because he's by far going to be the best shooter on the team next year.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, so I think you want to get him as many shots as possible.
I would agree.
All right. So there's your basketball recruiting. One other note on that is this Race Thompson kid is visiting this weekend as well. He's a stud. So maybe they can jump in on that, the kid out of Minnesota. I don't know as much about him at this point in time. But there is stuff moving in the background, though, as far as recruiting goes, and it's really starting to pick up here with the last weekend home game. I think he's the only one who will be on campus as far as basketball goes this weekend, though, from what I'm understanding.
Race Thompson's going to get compared a lot to George Niang. 6'8", 200 pounds, kind of similar build.
Is he fat?
He's not fat like George, but he's kind of got the body shape a little bit of George. According to 247, he's the 62nd ranked player in the country, four-star. Third best player in Minnesota, so it'd be a heck of a get. And once again, a big. Iowa State needs bigs.
Yeah. All right, CFTV Live, thanks to AgriGold for the sponsorship. Move on to football recruiting. The last 2 weekends have kind of been nuts as far as kids coming in for junior day type visits. This weekend is going to be a little bit more tame. The big one is Will Farniok will be in. I mean, that's a Hail Mary. If Iowa State could land him, it'd be absolutely huge. The fact that they're even getting a sniff is a really good sign, I think.
Who's got more boys in their family, the Farniaks or the Bohannans?
Oh, my God.
Or the Corvers.
I love watching the Bohannan kid play from Iowa.
Yeah,
he just will chuck it, man.
He's not scared.
No, I like him a lot. He's fun to watch. Yeah, it seems like every year there's a Farniak who's being
recruited. Is this the fourth?
Recruited. Yeah, there's four Farniak boys.
Okay, and he's the youngest.
He's the youngest,
and
he
would be a center, I believe. He's very similar.
He's a lot like Tom, a lot more like Tom than the other two.
The other two were six set massive boys.
Yeah. Another kid, and I just reported this morning, from Solon. He is a defensive tackle, Tyler Linderbaum. He projects as a tackle. He also played center at the high school level. Keep an eye on that. There'll be a couple other kids in town as well who have already visited. I guess another football recruiting note to pass along, and this is from earlier in the week, that Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback who visited a couple of weeks ago, he has since committed to Minnesota. So Iowa State missed on him. But I guess the biggest takeaway I have from all of this stuff in a macro view, Adam, because I think more of our listeners probably care about that than they do these individual kids. This staff is using the junior day a lot differently than the road staff did, where you would just basically see Iowa kids who they really, you know, you're just an olive branch type thing to these high school programs. Campbell's staff is actually using this to recruit.
Yes.
Which is
And they're bringing in legit big-time players.
Absolutely.
I know somebody was. I got in an argument on Cyclone Fanatic the other day about it. People said, "Well, this isn't really any different than Rhodes' staff was doing as far as bringing players in. We just didn't hear about it." And I completely disagree. We were not. Iowa State was not getting in the four stars with all these big offers at this point in time on unofficial visits, where these kids are coming in at this time. They just not to the amount of players that they're getting. They're not just getting one or two. This is, 2-3 weeks in a row where they brought in a handful of players that you look at and be like, man, I love that kid.
Absolutely.
I love that kid.
Absolutely. I think, too, what's interesting to me, I wrote about this, I think, last week, is the amount of recruiting that Campbell does himself compared to other head coaches that I've seen.
Yeah.
Campbell is kind of front and center with all of these guys.
Good. He's the guy that needs to be selling the program.
He's not – it's not the assistants are going to take the guys in the back room and give them pizza at halftime of the basketball game. It's Campbell sitting at the table with mom and dad. He is very, very hands-on with what's going on with these juniors.
Which
I think you need to do that at Iowa State.
Yes, I think you do too. I think Dan McCarney was very similar to that.
Yeah, and, you know, and Dan – like the recruiting world has changed a lot since Dan was here. And I think that
I shouldn't say that. I heard a couple.
But Dan, here's the deal. Like, I've talked a lot about this with wrestling the last couple of days. In wrestling and basketball, more often than not, prospects are recruiting to a coach. They're committing to a coach. They're not committing to a school. That's why if you see a coach leave in those two sports, oftentimes you'll see transfers. In football, oftentimes they're committing to a school.
Yeah,
I think what Campbell's philosophy is, you're also committing to me in that type of a relationship. And I think that that's good when you have a school that lacks football tradition overall. If you can have a figurehead of the program who's also very integral in building those relationships, I'm starting to learn the more I've observed this over the last decade or so, that is beneficial to Iowa State.
So what you're basically saying is Matt Campbell is going to he's going to recruit 4 or 5 stars and bring in the best recruiting classes in Iowa State history.
I don't know if he's going to continue to bring them in, but I do know that these guys don't have any fear.
No, they don't.
They don't care who you've been offered. They think that they can come in and get you.
Well, I think the best person to look at, not only did they get Matt Leo, who had that offer from Oklahoma, but now you're seeing the McKinney kid from Iowa Western, who as soon as Oklahoma offered him a tackle, I think everyone was like, oh, shoot, there he goes. Well, all of a sudden he's coming in this weekend, correct? Didn't you just post that he's coming in this weekend?
Yeah.
These guys, yeah, like you said, they're not running away from it. They're taking it on. They're going right at him. And you know what? Why not? Why not?
Let's dig on some basketball here.
Quick thing. Brett Stiles on Twitter asked a question here.
Okay. What's he
watching the broadcast? What about Jacoby Long's potential as a shooter?
Well, Jacoby is not a shooter. He's kind of your defender and
maybe a slasher a little bit.
Yeah, he was recruited as a defender.
Yeah. If you watch
– I remember when he committed doing that story, talking to him, and I talked to his uncle who's like a coach too, I think. I think he's his high school coach. Or actually, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I know his uncle's very integral in his game, and he is a defender. That's what he takes pride on being.
He's very well put together for a freshman. Shoot, he looks like he could go play football tomorrow.
Well, him and Solomon Young, like I don't think I've ever seen two freshmen show up
just
that are as buff.
They look like you at CrossFit.
I don't get to go very often anymore, hence why I'm...
Well, it's because Woody scares you too much.
Yeah, he's a hell of a coach, that's for sure.
But anyway, no.
But I don't think that Solomon's role... Or not Solomon. Jacoby's role will be shooter.
And if you watch him right now, and it could change, he can work on it. His jump shot's ugly.
Yeah, it's a really weird form. No. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it.
He gets off the floor about the same amount as George. Barely gets up, but he doesn't release the ball until he's about ready to touch the ground again.
You know who else has a weird shot is Donovan.
Yeah, but Donovan's follow-through is pretty, but his feet are like set up wrong, and it's just
– Donovan, and the fact that he's left-handed, I think it – accentuates it.
That's pure, right?
No,
there.
I know, but like you don't see as many left-handed.
No, you don't.
Shooters like that.
Well,
so
Jacoby's left-handed too, I believe.
I believe that's it probably makes them both look a little awkward because of that.
Probably. Jacoby to me is like George, except he waits until he's about ready to hit the ground before he releases the
ball.
Okay, yeah. That's just my take. But no, I agree with you on Jacoby. He's more of a defensive guy and probably a slasher and does the dirty work for Iowa State.
Right. Let's go to basketball. Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. So Iowa State obviously has won four games in a row, setting up a big game for they're in a three-way tie for second in the Big 12 with Baylor and West Virginia. Baylor coming to town. Just looking ahead at seeding a little bit, they're going to be in a dogfight, I think, to get that second seed. Or I don't know if you've played around with the bracket generator.
They essentially need to win out.
Yeah, they do. And
or get a lot of help.
Yeah, because they don't have tiebreakers on those teams.
Correct.
However, if they beat Baylor, so what's the actual tiebreaker? They would have a tiebreaker on Baylor if they would win that, correct?
Well,
I believe that they would because they've beaten Kansas and Baylor is 0-2 against Kansas.
I think you're right on that.
So I think they would have that over Baylor. I'm not positive on West Virginia. Nonetheless, that was a huge win though on Monday night, Adam, because it just changed for me at least. I couldn't help it, and I know like I shouldn't be like this as an Iowa State fan, but if you lose that game, it creeps in your mind, oh, crap, Baylor's in the top 10.
Yep.
Then you gotta play Oklahoma State, who's the hottest team in the league right now, arguably, and then you're probably going to lose at West Virginia. You could lose four in a row. Well, now, to me, the whole mindset's different.
Yeah.
Oh, well, win the next two games, and you're talking about a four seed potentially in the NCAA tournament. So things are really good right now.
They are really good. And as the Iowa State fan who gets kicked in the nuts a lot, you lose to Texas Tech, and then you're thinking, oh, shoot, if we lose the next three after that, lose first round, we're in the playing game. 9-9, 17-14 would be our overall would have been our overall record. I think we would have been in the tournament, but would not have been a good seed or in a good spot. And then you start sweating it a little bit. Now you're 100% right. Iowa State, we're sitting here wondering, man, if we can go 2-1 and win one or two games in the Big 12, 4-5 seed. I don't want the 5 seed. I think most people want to stay away from that, don't you? Just because of the whole 5-12. I'm talking about the NCAA tournament.
No, I don't want the. Here's the deal, though. And this is what I did, and it surprised me. So I was going to write a column on seeding and how different the 7 and the 6 seed are as far as that potential second round. Right now, Lenardi has Kentucky and Duke as 3 seeds.
Yeah, I think Duke's going to continue to move up.
I agree.
Yep.
Now, it's clearly there's a lot of time left in that.
Sure.
But my point is, in this NCAA tournament bracket, there's not a sure thing. Like, when's the last time we went into a tournament and there wasn't, like, a significant favorite? Like, I mean, Gonzaga is probably going to be the overall number one seed right now, and Iowa State
They won't be the favorite by Vegas, though.
Oh, hell no. Actually, Vegas just put it out yesterday. They're second right now, believe it or not.
Really?
Duke is number one. Gonzaga is number two. We talked about that on the show yesterday.
That's surprising to me.
It was surprising to me, too, especially when I watched an Iowa State team that was playing like crap at that time, who damn near lost to Indiana State 2 days before that.
Yeah.
Nearly beat them. So My point is the seeding's going to be stacked. Normally, I could understand wanting to avoid the 5-12 thing. I totally understand that. But I think this year, if you can get up there where you're playing a 4 seed in the second day of the tournament as opposed to a 3, I think it's going to be a big deal.
I can understand that. I can understand that. Honestly, though, it really – a lot of this depends. There are certain – If you play Florida right now as a 3 seed, Florida's playing as good as any team in the country.
Yeah, but, that's what I mean.
But they just lost their big guy.
Yeah.
He's out for the year.
So it's all matchups.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, do you want to play them? Either way, I mean, if you could just stay out of the 8-9, which I think right now, obviously, they're a 7. So as long as they keep doing what they should be doing, they're going to stay
out of that game. I think they'll be at least a 6. I really think that that's how it will end up.
At least a 6.
I do.
You got to go 2-1 the next two games.
I think they will.
I do too.
Yeah. I'm totally on board now. And I'll stick with this. And you make a great point. You've made a great point about the matchup with Oklahoma State, about Monte really being able to neutralize Evans. I totally agree with you. I'm more concerned about Oklahoma State than I am Baylor for one reason. The guys are going to be so fired up for Baylor because they have, you know, they know that Baylor has their number.
Uh-huh.
It's a Saturday game. The crowd's going to take it more seriously because they're a top 10 team. Baylor will get Iowa State's best shot. My fear is the whole senior night thing.
Yep.
And because Oklahoma State's good enough where they can jump up and bite you. And they are as hot as anybody in the league right now. Now, granted, I think that if you objectively look at what Oklahoma State has done, you will see that when they started 0-6, because they were playing the best teams.
Yep.
They have really been
beat
good.
Up, they beat up on the teams they should.
They've
beat
beaten
up on
the teams that they should. That's a very well put. However, they are good enough to beat you. And if you show up and you're focused on senior night and the crowds, we saw that last year with a bad Oklahoma State team. Let them hang around because George Niang was crying before the game even started.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be just as emotional with Naz, Monte, and Matt.
And here's the big difference. You don't have Travis Ford coaching on the other side.
You have a really good coach.
Very good
coach.
A guy
who I think will be seen as an elite coach in college basketball in 5 years. He's really good. So that game scares me more than Baylor.
I don't agree that it scares me more, but I understand the points you're saying because the senior day is the X factor on that. Just how are the players going to be emotionally able to overcome that? But, I mean, I know Oklahoma State's hot right now. I know their efficiency right now. They're second in the country on KenPom in efficiency on offense. That's unbelievable. But you lose 5 in a row to Baylor. There's no way you can tell me that that's not a bigger concern.
No, I think the guys will –
they can't lose
they
6
will,
in a row.
They are so pissed that they've lost that many games to Baylor.
And close games, too. It's not like they're just getting their butts
Monte
kicked.
Was already talking about it after the game on Monday.
Good.
He was already talking about it.
Me
and then Solomon's a big deal. You didn't have Solomon the last time.
That's true.
When you played them. So he neutralizes those posts a little bit. He's not anywhere near Motley. But he helps.
Yeah.
And they're shooting – they'll beat Baylor. I'm going on the record right now. They will beat Baylor. I'm worried about Oklahoma State just because of the everything that goes around.
But you're going to predict them to beat Oklahoma State as well.
Yes.
Okay, me too.
I got them winning 2 of their last 3.
I as well, and then they'll be a 3 seed more than likely, which would be a great setup. And then, unfortunately, they might be playing Okie State.
Yeah, that sucks. I want TCU or Kansas State in Kansas City.
I do as well.
Keep an eye tonight. Big game as far as Iowa State's purposes go. And I would encourage you all, if you want to be an educated Big 12 basketball fan, to watch Oklahoma State at Kansas State tonight. Kansas State's a 2.5-point favorite in that game. Who are we rooting for in that? Does it matter?
Kansas State.
Because we want to avoid Oklahoma State at all costs in Kansas City. At least I do.
Well, not even so much that for me. I want as many Big 12 teams in the tournament as possible. And right now, Kansas State is barely in the tournament. I think a win against Oklahoma State would really help
them. I
don't
care about the Big 12. I care about Iowa State. What's best for Iowa State tonight?
Well, let's pull up M Red here. Jeez. I mean, for Iowa State, that's a different question.
Well, that's what I'm curious about because it's hard because you don't know what seed Iowa State's going to be at this point either.
Well, then I think you probably actually – let's see here. You want Oklahoma State to win because if Oklahoma State wins, I think they bump up to a 5 seed and Iowa State plays Kansas State. So we're cheering for Oklahoma State tonight.
Okay. You and see? Then, hey, actually, Adam, too, that will help Iowa State because you can get a better-looking win next week.
Yeah, I mean, to me, all the wins kind of – they when it's round-robin, they all look the same.
They all kind of even out.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I don't know. I do want more teams in the Big 12 in, but Bruce Weber being a huge baby lately, kind of I want them to lose.
Yeah, he is
too.
A big baby. Elsewhere tonight, Kansas is a 12.5-point favorite at home over TCU. That's a lock. Kansas will win.
Ooh.
Not necessarily the 12.5. They're going to win the game, though.
Oh, wow. Way to go out on a limb there, Williams. Predict the spread like a man.
I'd take Kansas.
I would too. They won 86-80 down in TCU. TCU won't score 80 again in Fog Allen, but I think Kansas.
TCU's really struggled their second lap around the Big 12 as well.
Yeah. And there,
As Jamie Dixon pointed out after the game, teams have kind of learned how to defend that big guy. Push him around a little bit.
Yeah, he's skinny. But you know what? They got a nice future. He's a good coach. That's a team that will not – they're not a buy anymore. They're not a team you just circle
would
those,
you,
like, 2 wins.
If you're TCU, would you rather have – or if you're any of those Texas schools, your TCU, Tech, whatever, would you rather have Underwood, Dixon, or Beard?
Underwood.
Yeah, me too.
Underwood. I'd go Underwood. And I mean, I like Beard. I like Beard. But Dixon, to me,
Dixon,
be a better, it's a better area. That's an easier job.
Dixon's probably the best recruiter. I don't know if he's the best X's and O's guy of the three.
No, but his teams always play solid. Pittsburgh, they're always under.
He got Denny Greened out in Pittsburgh, though.
Denny Green, why? For what?
Their fan base just got tired of him constantly just getting to the NCAA tournament and being like a 7, 8, or 9 seed. Like, he always got there. Like, Denny would always get the Vikings to the wild card round, and then they would lose.
Yeah.
And, like, nowadays, it'd be like, oh, you can get me in the playoffs every year. I'd take that because I got Mike Tice.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. Even the one couple years they were 1 or 2 seed, they'd lose in the second round.
Correct.
I think it was Butler beat him in the second round.
Good stuff. All right, we got to go. We have a meeting.
Yes, we do.
We have a meeting to get to.
You know, I'm getting, by the way, Ted Flint's on Twitter right now talking about how I need to dress like you.
Yeah.
You're wearing tennis shoes, your jeans have holes in them, and you're wearing a T-shirt. You throw a blazer over it, and all of a sudden you look professional just because you're throwing a blazer over
it? I think it looks really good. I'm very stylish, dude.
I got my nice shoes on. I got some jeans. I got a button-up shirt on, and I'm the one that looks like a hack, and you're the one that looks professional in this outfit.
I mean, I didn't say that. Twitter did. So, I mean, I don't know what you're coming at me for. I just showed up to work today and put my best foot forward. What are you coming at me for?
I'm just I don't understand where Ted Flynn's coming from here. You clearly don't look as good as me. Clearly.
Thanks to AgriGold. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week. I don't know if I will, though. We'll have to figure that out. We got some stuff to talk about.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll do that next. Thanks for watching, though. We appreciate it. Podcast coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we have Cyclone Fanatic Radio from Benchwarmers 6 to 7. I think Kirk Holland is going to join me for that. I think I'm not sure what's going on. We go day by day here at Cyclone Fanatic.
I'll be there.
Okay, Gray will be there.
I'll be there.
Later, guys. Appreciate it.